Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the December 20th, 2019 edition, otherwise known as the Christmas edition. This is the bastion of good thought, where the person on the microphone right now is not a buffoon at all. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting across from me is a man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
Yeah, you were under the weather last
week.
Yeah,
I was. Yeah, real bad.
So let's just kind of refresh. So we did our last show, and then we did our podcast class.
Yes, we did.
And that went really well. Actually, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we had the week off.
Yep.
We didn't get together on Wednesday. We didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
We were going to get together Wednesday.
We were,
but
I was sick.
What happened?
After I got home from the podcast class, I started feeling feverish, and then...
It wasn't because the class was so hot, was it?
No, unfortunately. and then I got sick on Sunday, Monday. Tuesday I was feeling a little bit better, but had no voice. Wednesday, I went to go get my doctor's note and just went, you know what? I better stay home.
The rest is history.
Yeah. And so my voice is doing this wonderful thing today.
Well, you know, I've done shows where I started sounding like James Earl Jones partway through.
Well, that's always good.
I actually have videos of this. I remember it was back when J. Todd was on the show. And, you know, he had a naturally deep voice. But for some reason, I was in the point where my lips had gotten so chapped, they seemed like I had...
Oh.
Like almost like a lipstick on.
Yeah.
It was so red. But my voice was really deep and really projected. And I was like, yeah, we're the sexy voice man's club. Yeah, those are not fun, my friend. Those are not fun.
They're not.
Well,
your week?
I can't even remember what I did last week. What did I do? Oh,
you did a lot of recording, didn't you?
I had so a lot of my time right now is in trying to play catch-up with the writing that I've missed this last year. That's a big thing, and that's still part of an ongoing kind of struggle. But the other thing is most of my money's being made in music now, so I'm spending a lot of time with learning songs, rehearsing songs, finding songs, rehearsing with bands and other things like that. I'm also doing some songwriting with a producer, Grammy-winning producer out here, and that's going really, really well. So... you know, most of my time is spent in that world when I'm not here on the show. But I'm also really happy to be kind of in the position where now I think my schedule is carved out. My income from the previous job has been replaced. I just signed to do a musical and a concert for this next year, which helps bring everything up. And it leaves me about 4 days a week to write.
This is good.
Which is very good.
Really good, yeah.
So I'm essentially making what I used to make on just a couple days a week. Fantastic. And so now I can focus really on the publishing venture, World Poetry Magazine, that's happening this year, getting the books out. I'm helping people like Zach and you know, some other people we've talked to about getting their books out there the right way, really learning how to do it right, and then hitting some of our more secret goals for 2020 that we're really moving forward on. By the way, if you haven't listened, if you listen to the show and you haven't checked out an episode of This Business of Music and Poetry, which is between myself and Clifford Brooks from the Southern Collective Experience, he's been on the show before. It's a podcast that just originally talks a lot about the idea of trying to make a business, build a business around your work. But then also we interview people like poet laureates, you know, literary agents from New York. We talk to a lot of writing professors, people who really have a great kind of connection to what we're talking about here. And it's worth listening to, I think. I learn a lot every single time. So I would look up This Business of Music and Poetry if you're interested, checking it out. Also, should we talk about the big news that happened just earlier this week?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a drum roll. Ready? Or do you have a drum roll thing?
No, I don't.
Okay, ready? Let's just do a drum roll thing. Ready? Go. Well, our anthology came out. By the way, I love the fact that when we hit this, the springs sound like a big bass drum.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Our anthology came out. It's in the stores now. And it is basically a collection of poems from people who sent things in, and it's a fundraiser for the show. It basically helps, not a fundraiser, a fundraiser, although we hope it's fun too. And it helps all the proceeds go to pay for the things for the show. So things like hosting for the website and all that stuff, and also helps us kind of spin out some cooler projects as well. So it is available now. It's also the more unique one we've put out because it's the books are 8.5 by 8.5. They're square. But I was reading some of Philip's work in there, and trust me, there's nothing square about it.
Good point.
You might need to wear oven mitts when you get this thing, because it's red hot.
Red hot, huh? Hot off the presses kind of thing?
Hot off the presses. Wear your oven mitts.
It'll be hard to turn those pages, folks.
Especially since it's just one solid piece.
Sorry.
I didn't go for the binding. I just put a bunch of paper. No kidding. All right. Oh. So we're really happy. We're happy to be here tonight. We kind of a Christmas theme going. I hope that's okay with everyone. We know not everybody celebrates Christmas, but definitely where we are, we do. And we know a lot of people do. And if you don't, you know, please just accept our good wishes with and just enjoy just us having fun and playing around with it. Hopefully you feel like you can join in as well. Now, I did something really silly this last week. And I don't know how many people saw it. I really don't know. Here's what I did. This last week, I was supposed to put out the second week's clues. I didn't remember that. We actually didn't figure this out. And I think you would have called me on it, too, if you had remembered. But you had finals, so you have an excuse.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
So I just like lobbed the name of our poet of the month onto our Facebook page last week. Sorry about that, everybody. So we're going to figure out a way to make it up with some ridiculous Studio X kind of poll thing in January.
Should it be one of these?
You know what's funny? Every time I hear that, I hear the name Michael just said over and over again. Play it again really quick. Michael.
Wow.
It fits perfectly.
Huh.
That's lodged in my psyche from being a child, apparently.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Well, I mean, I worry about you. Cause
don't worry about me. I'm fine. Lackheim. Okay. Obviously, I'm great. Tomorrow's the winter solstice.
Yes, it is.
Now, I'm going to be getting up really, really early because I'm nuts, driving up to Red Rocks, where there's going to be several hundred people, at least from what I experienced about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Several hundred people. I've been able to go since I've been teaching. And they get up there before the sun comes up. And, you know, there's people dressed like, you know, Father Yule. And, and there's people, you know, drumming. And they're just drumming as the sun comes up. Now, I'm not in a pagan religion. I mean, I don't connect to that at all. However, to me, it's just a really interesting kind of human experience. It's really surreal. And I'm looking forward to it. I've been wanting to do this. So I'm going to be getting up really early, which I do anyway, and leaving the house early, which I usually do anyway, and heading over to Red Rocks to watch that tomorrow morning.
That'd be great.
So and you get to see
a movie about wizards. Yeah, I'm going to be traveling through space and time.
Yeah, hyperdrive.
And seeing wizards and pirates and...
And he's not talking about coming to my house.
And...
This is Michael's wardrobe changes throughout the show.
It's very true. Yeah, I get to go and watch Star Wars.
Good for you, man. Let me know how it is. I'd like to hear.
I will.
And I really think, hopefully, in 2020, we've been trying to do this for a while. We've got a few things to get through in the first part of the year.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to start doing some more Radio Angry type stuff in 2020, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I know we've got the school thing. Has been the precedent for you. And so that's why it's been so hard for us to get back to that. But you're almost finished. You've got one more semester.
One more semester.
That's so cool. I remember when you were just starting, we were telling everybody you were just starting.
Yeah.
That's big. That's really
crazy.
All right. So we are actually going to officially, even though I've already done it, we are going to announce who the poet of the month is. Now you do it. Okay. Now, is this where I should be doing it in the show, actually? I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. JT has this list of the things I need to be checking. I'm just checking. All right. All right. So, our poet of the month is, drumroll again, Rainer Maria Rilke. He is recognized as one of the most lyrically intense German language poets, one of my favorites. Rilke was unique in his efforts to expand the realm of poetry through new uses of syntax and imagery, and in an aesthetic philosophy that rejected Christian precepts and strove to reconcile beauty, suffering, life, and death. He is absolutely a fantastic poet. A lot of people are aware of who he is, but this is a great opportunity to learn more. So if you want to go to worldpoetryopenmic.net, click on the Poet of the Month page. You will be able to see a short bio, a picture of him, and actually click through on the Learn More link to find out more about Rilke. He's fantastic. And like I said, one of my favorites. All right. Are we ready? Oh, tonight, by the way, we're going to have awesome poetry. We're going to have some music, and we're going to have some Studio X.
Yeah.
We're going to have Christmas, maybe some Christmas sing-alongs going on. Okay. Be fantastic.
Yeah.
And a very special rendition of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Really excited about that.
I'm looking forward to this one.
That'll be fun.
All right, so we need five unique callers. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Like a speeding train powered on the spirit of Yule. It's World Poetry Open Mic. We're back here in the first segment. So we had a kind of a unique thing happen when the first calls came through.
Yeah.
It just went haywire.
Yes, it did.
And I was laughing. It was like watching Scotty in the engine room in the original Star Trek. I swear the room started swaying back and forth. I can't hold it, Captain! That's how I kind of felt, the whole thing. And then I made out with someone, some a green woman. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, it's so weird. They just appear out of nowhere.
They just show up, and it's really strange. You don't even know what's happening. All right, anyway, so we're here in the first segment. We actually have five great callers. I'm really looking forward to getting into this here. Well, JT, I don't want to pressure you because, you know, we're on live radio and everything. But
you hear me typing?
Yeah, I hear you typing, and I know you must be up to something. So,
do you want to go over the rules? Because you missed them.
You know, yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
rules are good. I mean, okay. It's not like most of the people here haven't heard them before, but let's make a habit because this is a good thing.
Okay.
Rule number one, no hate speech. We don't do it on this show. We never have. We never will. Rule number two, please skew PG-13. We're not in the business of censoring everyone. However, we do want to make this a friendly environment for younger people, families who might want to listen and enjoy the art of poetry. We reserve the right to kind of jump in if things get a little too over the top and recommend that you read in an After Dark segment or you know, just say, hey, maybe it's just not for us if it's too much. Rule number three, please be prepared with your palm when we come on the line. It's just a respect thing for everyone. It keeps the show moving. For, in the same vein, rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes if you can. We may speak a little bit longer than that. That's fine. But that's just a good ballpark to kind of go for the length of your work. And rule number five is more for JT and myself. We love your comments. We love suggestions. That's what helps us make this show better. However, when you just mention it on the show, we forget about it because we're kind of trying to do all of these things. So what we would really like you to do is if you have a comment, you have suggestions, send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form on the website. That way we can take them and actually talk about them during our meetings and actually start to implement them if we think it's the right thing to do. All right, those are our rules. Now we're going to be heading... I don't know if we're actually going to Michigan, though, JT.
Oh, you know what? That is a good point.
Let's find out for sure.
All right.
Here we go. Let's go to George, I think, in Michigan. Hey, George.
Hey.
Hey, good evening.
How you doing?
Doing real well.
Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you as well.
Well, I'm not actually, I am still in Michigan.
You are in Michigan. Okay.
I am in Michigan, but that changes in tomorrow afternoon when I catch a flight out there, and then I'll be at the same game that JT's going to be at.
That's right.
And then I've got to get back in the plane on Monday morning and come home.
So you're going to be at the clash of the Titans, known as the Broncos versus the Lions.
Yes. Yeah. they're playing third string players all opened up. A lot of no one even knows. And you guys actually have a little better record than ours by one or two games.
That's impossible, George.
it's pathetic. It really is.
Well, I mean, you know, it could be worse. Maybe, we could be the Dolphins. I mean, it's true.
Maybe
it could be.
That's right. Maybe the halftime band will be good or something.
Is there halftime band, JT?
There's halftime bands anymore.
I don't know. we have a marching band at the beginning. We have a marching band.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Great.
They're the Bronco Stampede, and then we have during halftime. I don't know what they're doing. They usually have somebody come out.
They had a bunch of kids doing cheerleading routines
earlier this season.
Oh, well, that's good.
I think we're getting later in the season. I think they do have a league where people dress up like knights and sit in shopping carts and joust each other. That would be
awesome. Might put a little too much groove onto
the champ of that is more famous than the players on the team.
Yeah.
So
Exactly.
Anyway, that's I'm excited. I really am. You know, and I think the weather's passable from what I understand.
60 degrees. It's gonna be super nice.
I'm excited. I hope there's some sunshine. And I have not been to Mile High, so I mean I've been out driving by to look at it from the street, but I haven't been inside. So that's gonna be a nice experience.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
So what do you have for us?
I wrote one this a few days ago. It's called A Christmas Note for Tough Guys. Let the snow mantle your problems all. Let a cardinal perch among your snowy spruce boughs. Step out into the night and let the stars fall. Light a candle. You'll see that for you it glows. Stare long at the old ornament. It beckons you to understand its story. All the years it hung there watching your children while it avoided your pets too. Shut the door on your cynicism. It's not meant to share. That stocking with your name on it, it is just for you. Let the memories flow in about stockings of your youth. A jackknife, some baseball cards, a Tootsie Roll or two, and the hand-knitted socks you thought were uncouth. Let your macho guard down. You haven't lived yet. There aren't that many Christmases ahead, so live them. That manly shield you hold up is one to regret. Let the warmth of giving be your lifetime gem. Stoke the fire, carry in the dessert, bend to tickle the child. Let a shy little one have safe haven on your lap. Real men are tender and carrying, pliable and mild. Drop the facade, let the spirit in, keep your charm on tap. You aren't stooping below yourself to be Yuletide compliant. You are instead showing the traits that make you stronger. You don't have to hark any angels or make the night silent. Let the cheer and brotherhood make your Christmas heart broader. So we are remembered for only so many years. Not one of us men have remained immortal. So live the Yule spirit, hug life as it appears, and leave your gripes and pains at the portal. So sing with the kids, eat the fruitcake, kiss Aunt Margaret. That's what a real Christmas man does. End of peace.
George, I totally agree with you. I think I was thinking the other day that there's so many different ways. It's funny as I've been getting a little bit older, I've noticed these different ways, and specifically men seem to do this. I know women have their own things too, but men seem to have different ways they try to show their dominance over life, right? And some guys try to be really gruff and posture all the time. And the thing I've really grown to see is, for me anyway, what power really is not exerting it unless it's necessary, sitting back and enjoying the people around you, seeing the extraordinary things around you, allowing your life to become romanticized a little bit, because you can actually see the truth of a romanticized life more than you can in just the mundane. And allowing yourself to be happy and to be joyful with the situation around you. That's kind of what this poem was reiterating to me. I felt connected to it that way.
Well, yes, I think you're absolutely right. It doesn't pay too much to be macho in your wheelchair at the rest home.
Right, exactly.
But it pays to have a legacy of warmth and loving. That goes with you. So
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. And first of all, I hope that you and JT and Christine get to at least cross paths for a minute at the game, hopefully. But I'll leave that up to you.
I don't know. I hope so. I don't know the layout, with my son. And I'm sure he and, but I sure hopefully can work something out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I won't speak for him. I'll let him figure that whole thing out. But there you go.
Sure. I'd love to.
Awesome, George.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it's Friday again.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward to it. It feels like, what is it, in Chronicles of Narnia? It's always winter but never Christmas when the White Witch is there. And when we're not on doing the show, it seems like it's always Thursday but never Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, never Friday. That's it.
All right. Hey, George, thanks so much.
I'll be around for the return engagement.
Sounds wonderful. We'll see you then.
Okay. All right.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan. He's Denver bound, but not yet. Very well done.
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to go to Denise. Oh, no. Dennis. I'm sorry. There was a...
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
I'm playing around, buddy. I'm playing around. Obviously, I know Dennis. All right. Let's go now to Dennis in the number two spot. Hello, Dennis.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dennis. Good to hear your voice, sir. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's always good to read poetry on Friday night on your show. It's a high point in my week.
Hey, we love it too. We love it. High point in ours as well. So, what do you do for Christmas? Do you have family come over? How do you spend it?
Well, usually we have a family come over before Christmas, and we share gifts. But and then we go over to my wife's sister's house, and the larger family gathers together, and we have a wonderful time.
Ah, very good. Very good. Happy to hear that. I'm going to be now, JT. I'm going to ask you about yours here in a little bit. I know on Christmas Eve, I'm actually playing at service. So we've been rehearsing for a while for it.
Yeah.
And then we'll be going to catch up with part of the family. And then on the actual Christmas day, we'll have my brothers and my and their significant others and my niece and my nephew, and everybody will be over and be a good time.
Oh, yeah. These holidays are all about getting together with families and renewing the ties that you have together and making new magic
and
every holiday.
And having a four-year-old niece who's just head over heels in love with the whole Christmas thing.
Oh, that's a great time for a child that age. Wow, it's wonderful to be around them.
Oh, yeah. It's making me suddenly go, you know, Christmas is really cool. You're right. Yeah, let's do this. You know? So, I just absolutely love it. It's enough. And, JT, this is a big statement, man. It's enough to make me consider wanting to have kids.
Wow.
I know.
That's huge.
Wow.
It is big for me.
That's huge.
But it is true. It's true. I got to have that whole pesky getting married thing first, though.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
Yeah. It's got to work out. We'll make that happen somehow, maybe.
Yeah.
Not under duress, though. Everybody's got to be on board. All right. Anyway, before I get down that weird road, Dennis, how about I just turn the stage over to you, and hopefully you can save this.
All right. I'll do my best. I apologize. I don't have a poem by the poet of the month, but I do have a poem by an author, a famous author. I'm going to share for my first poem, and it's a poem by Ogden Nash. The boy who laughed at Santa Claus. And it goes like this. In Baltimore, there lived a boy who wasn't anybody's joy. Although his name was Jabez Dawes, his character was full of flaws. In school, he never led his class. He hid old ladies' reading glass. His mouth was open when he chewed, and elbows to the table glued. He stole the milk of hungry kittens and walked through doors marked no admittance. He said he acted thus because there wasn't any Santa Claus. Another trick that tickled Jabez was crying boo at little babies. He brushed his teeth, they said in town, sideways instead of up and down. Yet people pardoned every sin and viewed his antics with a grin, till they were told by Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Deploring how he did behave, his parents swiftly sought their grave. They hurried through the portals pearly, and Jabez left the funeral early. Like whooping cough from child to child, he sped to spread the rumor wild. Sure as my name is Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Slunk like a weasel of a Martin through nursery and kindergarten, whispering low to every tot, there isn't any, no, there's not. The children wept all Christmas Eve, and Jabez chortled up his sleeve. No infant dared hang up his stocking for fear of Jabez ribald mocking. He sprawled on his untidy bed, fresh malice dancing in his head. When presently, with scalp a-tingling, Jabez heard a distant jingling. He heard the crunch of sleigh and hoof, crisply alighting on the roof. What good to rise and bar the door? A shower of soot was on the floor. What was beheld by Jabez Dawes? The fireplace full of Santa Claus. Then Jabez fell upon his knees with cries, "Don't, and pretty please." He howled, "I don't know where you read it, but anyhow, I never said it." Jabez replied, the angry saint, "It isn't I, it's you that ain't. Although there is a Santa Claus, there isn't any Jabez Dawes." Said Jabez then, with imprudent vim, "Oh, yes, there is, and I am him. Your magic don't scare me, it doesn't." And suddenly he found he wasn't. From grimy feet to grimy locks, Jabez became a jack-in-the-box, an ugly toy with a spring unsprung, forever sticking out his tongue. The neighbors heard his mournful squeal. They searched for him, but not with zeal. No trace was found of Jabez Dawes, which led to a thunderous applause, and people drank a loving cup and went and hung their stockings up. All you who sneer at Santa Claus, beware the fate of Jabez Dawes, the saucy boy who mocked the saint. Donner and Blitzen licked off his paint. End of poem. A poem by Ogden Nash.
Oh, first of all, Dennis, you reading Ogden Nash is perfect for some reason. It's really, really works. And done very, very well. You know, that was great. Great choice.
He's a fun writer to read. He puts in a lot of good stuff in his poetry.
I agree. And you do a very, very good job of it. So thank you so much.
I try. I hope I've done him justice. But there it is.
All right. Wonderful, sir.
And I appreciate you letting me read that. And it is the time of year to read it. So I thought I'd just put it right in its place.
Perfect. Hey, thank you so much, Dennis. And we're looking forward to it we're looking forward to you again in the return engagement.
Yes, I have. I have a poem of my own for the return engagement. And I hope to be able to share that. And thank you again for letting me read. I've ordered my anthology, copies of the anthology.
Fantastic.
And I'm looking forward to receiving those and discovering all the gems of poetry in there.
There's some great stuff. There really is, including your work, by the way. So anybody listening, there's some really good stuff from Dennis as well.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's going to be a wonderful publication. And it's a great way to share the work of the callers, and we appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic. I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan in the number two spot here in our Christmas edition of World Poetry Open Mic. Now we're going to travel to the Great White Northeast.
When I click on the correct one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of going the right way with it. All right, let's go visit Zach in New York. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I don't know what's the Northeast. I actually have no idea where I am. I'm in Rochester, New York. I failed at geography, so I have no idea where that is.
Well, if you think about it, Zach, I mean, you might know where you are, quote, the name we give it on the planet, and we might know where the planet roughly is, but we might know where the solar system is where we are. But we don't really know where the solar system is, in theory, relative to anything else. So, honestly, we just don't really know where we are.
Well, we're on the planet of World Poetry Open Mic.
We're on the internet. No, that's right. We're on the planet of World Poetry. We're on
like
Whoop'em.
That.
Whoop'em.
Yeah, that was we're on the planet of World Poetry Open Mic, and It's a pretty good place. Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays to you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I actually hit a big milestone. I reached 10,000 viewers on my poetry.
That's great.
In 8 months it was. So that was really surprising that I was able to reach that many people in that amount of time. And one of my latest poems was a sleeper hit. It got 20 views, and then it skyrocketed to about 150 views in about an hour.
That's great. That's awesome.
So how are you?
We're doing really well. It's Advent Christmas time is my absolutely insane time as far as music goes, because there's so many concerts and rehearsals and things that I'm kind of having to play at now. So, I mean, I've had multiple days like this last weekend, for instance, where I was leaving the house at like 6:30, 7 in the morning, not getting back until 11:30 at night, waking up and doing it the next day and the next day. And I just leave with a guitar and a notebook, and here we go. And so a lot of people think that musicians don't have a lot to do. There's a lot of need for musicians if you get in the right circles, you know. So that's what I've been doing. It's just been running around doing music. But let me ask you this. We're asking a few people this. What do you usually do to celebrate Christmas?
Well, I work.
Okay.
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I work Christmas Eve from 2 to 7, and then I get to go home to my family. It's my mom's side of the family on Christmas Eve, and then on Christmas Day I have the day off, and we go over to my dad's side of the family and exchange gifts and everything, and just talk about our year, and it's just about spending time with the family.
That really is it. I mean, I remember a few years ago we were actually doing the show at the time. Was already 2012. I think it started in 2012, actually,
yep.
Where I was, I always ended up when I was working at the aquarium overnight. I was there Christmas Eve night into Christmas morning.
Yeah, you were.
And, it actually wasn't that bad.
No.
It was kind of nice. I mean, I was there. They had Christmas trees up. It was beautiful, this beautiful blue light, but the Christmas trees were still on. And I was the only one there, and I had coffee. There was no one coming, you know? And they shut down at like 8 o'clock at night, you know, so, or no, before, they shut down at like 4 o'clock. And so when I got there, it was all, didn't need to really do much except just kind of watch things.
Just Michael, sharks, and tigers.
And I remember the first year I was there, I think I watched Midnight in Paris, which is a great movie about writers and poets and, you know, all that. And it was just so fun. So I'm one of those people who loves their solitude. So I was like, I'm having a great time here by myself. But yeah, I definitely understand. I've worked plenty of those kinds of days. But with family is what really matters, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Zach, before we keep talking about this, I'm going to shut up and let you actually read. That's why we're all here anyway. And then we'll talk real quickly afterwards, okay?
All right, sounds good. This piece is actually inspired by is actually my answer to the prompt that you guys put up on the World Poetry Open Mic Facebook page. It was writing a poem about the return of snow, and so I decided to be a little creative. I decided to tap into my creativity side and actually make snow a person. And so it's a confrontation between a dad and the snow, and the dad represents seasonal depression, because I realized that is an actual thing, and but it actually has a happy ending. So here we go. The poem is called I Forgive You. There I was, sound asleep in my bed. Memories of my wife and I danced in my head. All of a sudden, I woke up to a chill in the air, and I couldn't help feel like someone was there. As I laid back down, I heard a knock at the door. I looked at the clock, and it was 4:30. Who could that be? I put on my robe, and as I crept down the hall, I checked in on my daughter. Wow, she's not even 5, and she's already so tall. The stranger knocked again, so I hurried my pace. I was about to scream,
but then I saw his face. It was snow. I was so angry, I couldn't speak. All I could do was glare. Finally, I said, "What do you think you're doing, standing there?" "Hey, I just wanted to let you know I was back in town." He was wearing a smile, but when he saw I was mad, he replaced it with a frown. "What's wrong? Aren't you happy to see me?" I scoffed. "Happy to see you? You killed my wife. Last year she was driving home. That night you covered her windshield and she got into an accident because she couldn't see." Snow was horrified. He looked me in the eye, said, "I'm so sorry," and as he walked away, he started to cry. Just then, my daughter snuck out. "Snow, don't go," I heard her shout. I couldn't believe it, but she hugged him. I knelt down beside her and asked, "Do you know who this man is? Why are you happy to see him?" She said, "Because even though it's sad she's not here, Snow was the thing Mommy looked forward to the most every year." After a moment, I knew what I needed to do. "Snow, I will never forget what you did or the pain you put me through, but in honor of my wife and daughter, I forgive you." End of peace.
It's a great piece, Zach. Well done.
Very well done.
Thanks. I realized as I was reading it, maybe I should have put a warning that this is kind of a sad poem.
No, it's okay. It worked. It worked very well. I think you captured, to me, I think you captured actually what winter is. It's a death. It's a renewal. It's all these things. It's the focus down. And then all the wonderful portions of it as well. So good job. Good job.
Thanks. I read the prompt and I'm like, well, it's easy to think about describing the return of Snow as like from a singular point of view, but then thought, well, what if Snow was a person and, you know, the seasonal depression, the dad blamed Snow for killing his wife. And so, but then his daughter stepped in and realized, you know, it's really about the memories that, you know, even if it really wasn't technically Snow's fault, it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just something that happened, but there's always ways to remember them.
Yeah, you're totally right. Yeah. Zach, very well done, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you during the return, hopefully.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you then. That was Zach calling from New York, number 3 in the first segment, in our opening segment here. All right. We're going to head to Kentucky to visit with Felipe, the voice of the South.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Relieved.
Relieved, yes.
Yes. Lexi and I, all of her annual doctor's appointments are now officially concluded. Everything's fine. And,
wonderful.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So happy to hear that. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes, very good. And it sounds like you guys are in good form tonight.
One can hope, but you haven't heard Studio X yet.
Well, I will certainly be listening and looking forward to that.
All right.
Yes, and I hope you're feeling a little bit better there, JT. It sounds like you were under the weather, sir.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling much better than I was.
Well, so. that makes me very happy. Well, I will be swift because I know you have at least another caller and you have another session coming up before we do the return engagement, so I will get to it. The title of this is called Pieced Together from a Disassembled Hierarchy. And here we go. On the nod beneath imagined umbrellas, hued by sunset splendor, hallucinatory rain nurtures my fecundity. Spare parasols held above my proleptic Bonnie, asleep in her sea-scented green pram. Pleasant streams of limpid consciousness, where the hippopotamuses sun themselves in brief respite, their dawn bloat ablutions, wide mouth, mid yawn. recall biblical passages that specify how many cubits compose the hypotenuse, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. As the magician's make-believe compadre and assistant, I've survived blistered desert travails on honey and locusts. My steady fleet pace, propelled by their shrill manic song. Tiresias kibitzing among wan chess players, studiously hunchbacked over their prized boards, logic, permutations, premises, and primroses. Once upon a time, child, I eagerly followed goat-footed Pan across the treble clef horizon. Kaleidoscope fractals multiply exponentially when my fever increases. Neon and pink halogen blossoms burgeon along steel tree limbs. Light will reclaim the darkness. Mind enraptured, a phoenix madly beating broad wings against its ashen cage. Zephyrs kept hermetically sealed when I return hard and soft cover additions to dusk on my dusty shelves. And there it is, fellers.
Very, very well done. Liked it
a lot.
Thank
you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And I have really missed you guys, and I'm glad to be back. And I think it's kind of, you know, easy sailing here into the new year. So I guess you'll just have to get adjusted to me, you know, showing up at your events and occasions.
Oh, darn.
Oh, no. Yeah, that won't be hard for us to feel great about here, Philip. We always look forward to it.
Oh, no, Philip's come back. Duh.
Come on, yeah. Yeah, just, you know, I think that's something that we definitely will look forward to going into 2020 and finishing the year out with. You know, we still have another episode before the end of the year. So
yeah, I saw the calendar. It looks good. And I'm looking forward to ordering several copies of the anthology this out. Thank you so much, Michael. And thank you, JT. Thank you guys for everything you do. And I'm going to let you go on to the next poet.
All right, Philip.
Hey, thank you, sir.
All right, cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. The four spot. We got one more caller in this segment, JT.
Uno más.
Uno más. One moment.
Uno más. One more. One moment.
Uno. Momento. Por favor. Uno. Momento. Por favor. Feliz Navidad. We're an international show, JT.
I get it.
Don't be so weird. Don't be so weird.
So sorry.
Uno más. Momento, por favor. All right, let's go.
Wow.
Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We're so happy to hear from you. How's everything going up there?
It's been really busy. I'm hoping to get Meditation for Writers out tonight.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm hoping if I get it I have big dreams that may or may not come true.
I understand. Yeah.
I'm hoping if I get it to Amazon, it might be on sale before Christmas.
It very well might be. Yeah.
Might be an operative word. I know my friends are like, where is it? I'm looking for it. I'm like, oh, I haven't uploaded it yet.
Yeah. It's I know that world so well. I'm just nodding my head, just recognizing it. Yeah.
I love the cover so much. I sent it to my friend Jude. I'm writing a review of her book, so I'm trying to get my review of her book done, and I'm trying to get my book done.
Oh, wonderful.
We'll see if any of it happens.
Well,
it'd be so nice if I could do it, but we'll see.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah.
But I need a deadline underneath me to cut out all the stuff that's not supposed to be in the book.
You know, isn't that interesting? I saw it was something that I saw from an entrepreneur I really follow, and he said, your not-to-do list is more important than your to-do list. And I thought, there's so much to unpack from that, especially when we're talking about what to include in a book, you know?
Well, for me, like the sad part of this is that when I put out my 25 poems in a tiny little chapbook, nobody's going to know that it, honest to goodness, was 66 pages, 67, 70 pages, like, you know, 70 to 140 pages if you count double spaced, of like me rambling.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But no one will know. Why social media is bad for us as writers, why this is bad. When you take all that out and goes back to these being these poems, it makes sense. But nobody knows how hard I work to put it back into what it should have been.
Yeah, that's true. But it's, in a way, it's kind of that, the idea of sprettura, you know, the concealment of effort, but that by concealing the effort, you allow the work to be more pure and to be more affecting in its own. So by you concealing your effort, you actually make it more directly what it's supposed to be.
Well, that's what I'm doing with my review as well. Like, I have all this stuff about how Jude's this wonderful person who looks after stray dogs. I'm like, Pacific Rim books probably doesn't care. There's no stray dog in the poem. There's no stray dog in the book.
yeah, interesting. Yeah.
But I need a really serious deadline in order to, like, make those cuts. So that's what I've been doing.
Well, I wish you all of the best. But since we're here, what do you have for us?
So I thought it would be a nice night to read a book from my Rainforest and Russet collection, a poem from that book. It's on page 62, I think. I'm not wearing my glasses. This is A Winter Tapestry. In silvered cedar lies the hope the garden gives to all. Inviting realm of peace in the depths of winter soil. The tears and memories and hands of all that went before. Listen for movement and stillness. Earth and darkness spun to ochre, like consciousness birthed into light. Waiting for the sky to take back the rain, for pale blue and forest green. Tips of twigs shimmer violet and teal. Swift hummingbirds diving beak first into an aqua pool. Like the burst of flavor in a succulent slice of orange, they call. Yamea already sketching the nectar to blossom. End poem.
Very well done. It's, you know, Cynthia, it's, and I know I say this, but we do mean it. It's always a treat having you on, and it's like a nice homecoming every time you're able to make it on. We understand when you can't, but it's just a nice homecoming when you're able to, you know.
Thank you so much. I mean, this really is an extended support family and network of friends, so I'm grateful to be able to come here. Now, I'm also going to say something in Zach's poem really struck me about symbolism. Yeah. The reason I have all these hummingbird poems is that my grandmother loved them, and I still miss her. But a lot of my friends came over. A whole lot of my friends came and helped me make this beautiful wildflower garden on my deck, which, of course, is winter now. It's been cut down. We have a hummingbird feeder now. There are a couple of hummingbirds that stay through the winter, and I just have all these hummingbirds and beautiful wildflowers on my deck. So there is something about symbols and things carrying over. And, you know, it was in her memory, but now it's something we do.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I think that is very, very cool. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So my grandma's in my poem, but Zach's symbolism really connected with me. So, yeah, thanks you guys, and thanks to all the poets.
Of course. Thank you, Cynthia. We really appreciate you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. We're always so awkward at the end there.
We are.
Sorry, Cynthia. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just, you know, getting through it here. All right. So it's time now for us to try to go for our next segment and see how many poets we can get. So we're always guaranteed two segments.
Yes.
So we are going to take five more unique callers. Number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here in the second segment with two great callers. I like your song selection this evening, man.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's not waste any time. Are you ready to go?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's just head right in.
Okay.
Cleveland, Ohio, we're going to go visit Mama Oladeji. Right. Hello, Mama.
Let's do it. Let's just get right over
Cleveland, Ohio. Yes.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, I got two shows going on the internet at the same time. And one on the radio, I mean, on the radio, on this. So, like, wow, like hearing three different versions of the show. But I missed you all.
I missed you.
Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and all that.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
And this is a Christmas piece, or actually a holiday piece, and it's kind of dedicated to people that are missing at the table when we have our Christmas dinner. The name of this piece is called The Good China. It was the last time we had our family dinner together at Auntie's house. I remember her always taking it out, you know, the good China. It was Thanksgiving, and the five of them now missing were there. None of us knew we'd never eat on the good China again. After Auntie's announcement that she was now too old to be our designated host, we said our blessings and decided it was up to Mary, my mother, to continue this tradition. We gathered up the good china and tucked it away into those little zip-up cases that they lived in. Then, as we carefully washed and dried them, somehow we knew that these delicate plates would never again be the containers used in which we serve our loved cooked meals. So we chatted and dried them carefully. Someone even mentioned, if Mary, my mother, should use them for our Christmas gathering, the good china was packed away with all the matching gravy bowls and napkin ring holders and was retired, never to be used again. Our next big event together was somber. Zoe brought a dish, we all brought a dish to the gathering, and the good china did not protest because it was safe at Auntie's house. The elegance of the meal was diminished, served on mixed-matched plates. Some were even cracked with faded flowers, but no one really paid attention. It was very ritualistic and a robotic meal. It were as if we all had other stops to make and we were just passing through, quite uncertain. The faster we ate, the less we had to think about the ones who were missing. We could make small talk and give pretend kisses and move on. And Mary, my mother, was never Betty Crocker, but Aunt Rose was Martha Stewart. Look, so we now were an incohesive group. We had lost our family glue. Conversations with our meal, well, it was minimum. And Mom, Mary, my mother, was the only one left of her clan, and she was not feeling it. Though, we never sent for the good china again. We also never knew where our family dinners were to be held. It's time for me to give the good china away to my daughter. But my daughter passed away. Maybe I'll give it to my sister or my niece. I tried, but no one wanted the good china, the Persian rugs, or the other artifacts. No one spoke up for the knickknacks or the Hummel figures, and no one cared, and no one found beauty in the bone china, the crystal, or the blown glass. So I just held on to them. Sometimes I'd open the china cabinet and just sit and sigh or laugh or cry. And I think of the days when we were loved and considered special, both myself and the china. We still have beauty, but there's no one left to behold it. So I write a poem in remembrance of my loved ones who honored us with the best they had. They would always present us with the very best things that they held dear. And they would always serve us on silver platters and always took out the good china. This is dedicated to Aunt Rose, Aunt Dolores, and Aunt Edith. I will always love and miss you. In peace.
That was really beautifully done.
Thank you.
We love you, Mama.
Thank you. I love you all, too.
Now, this is Christmas, but our New Year's is next week. So we spend time kind of, you know, thinking about others, people that we miss and people we wish we could connect to, and we connect to the ones we can. This week, next week, we try to look for some sort of a thing that we really are looking forward to in the future. And so that's going to be our theme for next week. So we're looking forward to, what we want to see in the next year. You know, let's dream next week. All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. If I can remember, I'm still kind of caught up in.
It's okay. It is okay.
It's quite all right.
It's quite all right.
If I can listen to it before.
Mama, you're welcome. You're welcome. However you can do it, okay? Our arms are wide open for you.
Yeah, what I was saying is I listened to the broadcast Sunday, and then I'll hear what you said, because I'm really just kind of.
I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Love That's you. Okay.
Love you too. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Love you
as well. That was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, leading us off here in the second segment. Man.
This is a good piece.
Very good piece. All right, now we're going to go next to a gentleman in Alabama. We're going to go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Wow.
I know.
Your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, great to hear your voice, though. It's meaningful.
Yeah.
It's great to be back.
Yeah.
At least when I can get back.
Hey, that's all we hope for, you know? We understand.
Oh, man, what a wonderful show. I am loving this.
There's still some good stuff to come, I hope. I think so.
Oh, yeah. Engagement, Studio X, we're not done yet by any means.
That's it. So, what do you have for us?
I have a little bit of a, I guess you could say, sort of a ode to love, if you will.
Okay.
And it's called Love's Cycle. To all a time and a season need not have a rhyme or reason, or logic have value in play, for hearts impart mind's choice and way. Passion, romance, control hold sway. Love's sweet obsession rules the day. No known cure for this condition, nor be we seeking remission. Broken hearts fall to attrition, in love's lost debilitation, still we return to the stage to renew, pursue, with much ado. Hearts with scars return to love's venue, desperate to find the one true. As seasons change, so goes romance, as we return to love's next dance. And peace. And that is Avir Afadade.
Wow, Stan. Very well done. Well read, also. We always love your voice.
I've got to say it, the poetic form of the month, I like it.
Do you? Good.
I like the pattern. I really do.
I thought it was kind of fun myself.
It is, and it is actually, the way it's written, you cannot help but be lyrical with it. That's right. Great.
It's kind of interesting. It's like forcing lyricism.
It is. It really does. It enforces it.
Which sounds like
I love it.
Sounds like forcing lyricism. Sounds like the name of a really lame, you know, early 2000s band. But
yeah, <it's>,
but, really.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. That poetic form is great. And for anybody who's wanting to know what Stan's talking about, go to worldpoetryopenmic.net, look at Poetic Form of the Month, and you'll find it right there.
Yeah, and it's the thing that really struck me was we've been doing Italian, we've done English, we've done almost different forms. I believe this is the first time we've gotten a form that was Welsh.
That's right. That's right. We're expanding our horizons there, Stan.
Love it.
All right. Hey, sir, are you going to be running for the return engagement?
Yes, I will.
All right, beautiful. So we'll talk to you then. I'm going to head to Studio X and play a few songs, okay?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. On to the next, my friend. Right.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you then. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Great stuff always. All right, JT, should we just go to Studio X?
You ready?
Yeah, let's just do it. Better. For those of you who are watching a live stream of this, it is done with there's reverb and stuff going on in the show. You're just hearing it dry. So I'm going to do a few Christmas songs. See how it goes. It was Christmas Eve, babe. Drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, hooray, old Mountain Dew. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when our dreams come true. I could have been someone, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you. I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. Built my dreams around you. Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, hooray, old Mountain Dew. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. So that's a
That's a serious one. I think we should go the other direction. What do you think? So JT and I were kind of at a loss figuring out what I should be doing here. And well, JT wasn't, I was. And I think I figured it out. But this is a little bit longer, but it is Bruce Springsteen's version of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." It's never been done before. Bruce Springsteen's version. You ready? Here we go. I'm gonna do a horrible Bruce Springsteen impression. Here we go. "'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. Mama in a kerchief, and I in my care, had just settled down for a long winter's night out on the lawn. There arose such a clatter, I spring from the bed, see what was the matter, away to the window. I flew like a flash, I tore up the shutters, and I threw up the sash. Moon on the bridge, the new falling snow, gave the luster of midday to the objects below. What to my wandering eyes, what should appear but a miniature sleigh and a tiny reindeer.
JT, I'm at a technical impasse. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna hold a long chord and do something, okay? Ready? See if I can make this happen. Smooth, right? That was smooth.
Here we go.
Little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. Oh, rapper than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer, now Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away, y'all. Oh.
dry leaves there for the wild who can't fly. When they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So to the housetop, courses they flew with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing each little who, as I drew in my hand, was turning around down the chimney. St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot, and a bundle of toys he flung on his back. He looked like a peddler opening his sack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of the pipe he held in his teeth, and the smoke circled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a rounded up belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly,
which is technically impossible if you really think about it. Let's just keep going here.
He was chubby and plump, right jolly old elf. I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
Let's see if I can get this again. Ready? Hold it. Wait for it. It's just an interlude. It's just an interlude, everybody. Here we go. Don't be weird. It's just an interlude.
He spoke not a word, went straight to his word. He filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, laying his finger aside his nose, giving up a nod. Up the chimney he rose, he sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, away they all flew like down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, and he drove out of sight. Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Christmas evening.
How long was that? It's 11 minutes of vamping on D. Something like that. Let's ask the chat room. Do you guys want me to actually do another real song? Because that was kind of like a... What do you guys think?
So far, so good.
They're like, no. Tell them to stop playing music entirely.
Yes, another one, always yes.
Okay.
Bravo, Michael, do another.
All right, well, I don't think I'm going to keep doing Bruce Springsteen impersonations, but I'll do something.
Well, that's okay. All right. That was fun, though. Really that.
Yeah, it was something. It was something. All right.
So.
Let's do a... See if my voice is up for this one right now. See, now I haven't warmed up. Here we go. Not the version we talked about earlier.
Okay.
See how this goes.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining, is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees, oh, hear the angel's voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
We'll try that another verse. We'll see how this goes.
Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chain shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh,
it seems like I'm hedging.
No.
It's actually a thing. My eyes get really dry and I can't see.
It's okay.
So You think that's about it? Or should I have one more, but I don't have to do one more. So let's, how about we do this? Maybe we do one more at the end of the show.
That'll work.
Let's do that. Let's get back out of this. Let's be heading to return engagement. We have time for any caller who wants to call back in, share a piece, or if you want to call in for the first time, it's a one-shot deal. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Yeah, I got to practice my Christmas. Hey, or you can also just call on Skype, ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and here we are in time for the return engagement. It's like a bus that passes by. If we don't jump on it, it's gone forever.
Really?
No.
It's just
it's a metaphor.
Oh.
It's a metaphor, JT.
Not a simile.
Not a simile. It's not like. It is.
Sorry.
Just simile.
Couldn't help it.
JT.
Just simile.
Nice. It's a metaphor.
Oh.
What's a simile like? Well, it's like
yeah. It's like actually, a metaphor.
What I really like is drawn out, just completely arbitrary similes. You know, like. Actually, we're not going to get into this. We've got enough callers.
Yeah, we do.
All right. One could argue the night before Christmas is just a long, drawn out simile.
Ooh.
Or a metaphor. For someone taking hallucinogens before Christmas. All right, let's go to Mama Oladeji. Exactly, in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Welcome back.
Thank you. I was inspired by your writing. I was trying to use the song that you were singing as a higher inspiration to add something to my poetry. It seems like once I clicked on something, I lost the editing, so I'm just going to read it. And if I can find the editing, I'll read it for you again another time, because I don't want to keep messing up. And the name of this piece is called Arousing the Harmony Within. I have my voice, I have my mind, I have my desires, I have my imagination, two gifts, my mind, my speech. My life and my words will renew my thoughts, and I shall reap what I speak. I will choose my condition, I will speak, I will plant my words in the fertile truth of my assumptions. I will be the person, the writer, the orator, the friend that I want to become. I will activate my dreams from the then to the now by every word that I speak. I will imagine and I will cross over into the threshold of my own reality by talking to myself while I'm talking to you, talking to my own mind, my new mind, realizing I must let my old thinking go. I must put myself on a spiritual and mental diet, words that I will live by and be guided from the mouth of God. I have my voice and my new thoughts, my desires, my new mind, as God has said. So I also, you know, say words spoken manifest reality while arousing the harmony within, activating my dreams, reality, new mind, as God has said. So also shall I say, words spoken manifest realities. In peace.
That was inspiring to me. Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mama, we really appreciate you, and we appreciate your work, and we're just happy that you're here to share it with us, and that you take the time.
I feel appreciated over here. I really do. And like I said, I was making some changes because when you were singing, oh my goodness, I was getting all kinds of like, thoughts, and I was changing stuff. And then it just like disappeared, and then like only one word was up there. It was like, wait a minute. I was like, where did my stuff go? So that word document is crazy. It did something. Now I got to try to find it.
Sorry about that.
I don't know how to retrieve it, so I got to keep fighting with this thing because I want the one that I did. It says, we'll keep track of accessibility issues while you work and tell you about them. Click here for the status bar, investigate issues we find. What? I ask you how to do all that. It's like, oh, crazy. Okay. Anyway, guys, I love you all from the bottom of my heart. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Make everything go smoothly until we meet again. And everybody out there in Poetry Land listening to me, you know, I love you all. Thank you for the beautiful encouragement all year long. And I will see you all on the next program, which I hope that I am still able to be able to enjoy, write, and listen to. So see you next time.
See you then.
Mama. Thank you. And that was Mama Ladeji leading off. She's also leaving, but she's leading off return engagement segment. She's gone from Cleveland, Ohio. Now we're heading to a little place, a fabulous place. Some would say a paradise.
Paradise?
Called Michigan. Let's go to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
There is a paradise, Michigan.
Oh,
see?
I'm not there.
Yeah. Perfect.
I'm back.
Woohoo! That's what we want. Well, thank you for joining us. Thanks for sticking with the show. We've had some great callers tonight. I think it's been really good.
Great show tonight. What a great collection of poetry we're sharing tonight.
Yeah.
So what a wonderful show.
Agreed. So what do you have for us this time?
All right. Well, I haven't written a lot of Christmas poems, but this one I is very meaningful to me, and I'll share it with you. The title is Best Gift Ever. When I was but 5 years of age, I remember Christmas from memory's page. I got a big red fire engine. I felt so clever. And I thought, this is the best gift ever. When I was 7, I received a brand new wagon. Sure thought I had big reason for bragging. Neighbor got a pogo stick. Oh, poor Trevor. Because I knew I got the best gift ever. When I was 10, got my first new bike. Riding tall, forgetting the trike. To improve my riding skills was my endeavor. I knew I got the best gift ever. When I was 13, my first BB gun. I knew right then I'd have some fun. Had a shiny finish and a rifleman lever. I was sure it was the best gift ever. So many Christmases have come and gone. From child to man, my life has drawn. Each gift I had been given for a reason was love expressed each Christmas season. This love shared from my parents true was but a reflection of the God they knew. And God's son, as a babe was given, so my sins and pride could be forgiven. With this in mind, with a grateful heart, I opened my eyes for a fresh new start. And I realized that God's love is forever. And Jesus is the best gift ever. End of poem.
Centering it back onto what the holiday is all about. I think that's very, very well done.
Yes. We need to be reminded. We get lost sometimes in the commercialism and all the other things going on, but we need to realize there is a greater purpose behind what we're doing, and we need to acknowledge that when we have time to. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very true. Very true. And done well. So, way to go.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you and JT have wonderful holidays, and that they may be joyous and meaningful. So, however you celebrate well, my friends.
Thank you, Dennis. Really appreciate that.
All right.
Merry Christmas, sir.
I'll step aside. Yes, thank you, too. I appreciate that. I'll step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'll say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the second in our return engagement. It's Christmas in upstate New York. A place where a poet named Zach resides. And now we're going to go visit Zach in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, Zach.
Hello, friends.
Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
All right. Well, it's been a pretty cool show so far. I think there's a fairly good Christmas spirit, except for my like 12-minute long Springsteen-esque thing. But other than that, I think it was all fine.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm about to share some more fun inspired by you again. So this is this poem is inspired by the prompt that you gave to write a poem about why the Christmas tree got knocked over.
Ah, yes.
So this is called Not a cat, but a stranger. This is the story of a tipped tree, some fish, and two men who hit the streets. They wanted to spread the word about how to keep pets safe, to speak up for those who could not be heard. They'd knock on the door, say, "Hi, we're from PETA," and just like that, they weren't invited to say anymore. This happened again and again and again. Finally, they agreed, one more, then that will be the end. They knocked on the door, but this time, no one answered. They knocked again, no answer. They went to the window, and what did they see? Baby goldfish in clear balls of water hanging off the Christmas tree. They looked at each other, and both said, "We need to act quick." Luckily, the door was unlocked. No lock to pick. Handling them with care, they got the fish to safety and got out of there. But before they left, they kicked the tree down in anger. And that's the story of how the tree was knocked over, not by a cat, but a stranger. End of poem.
Does that ever happen to you, JT?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Stranger just walks it.
Just bam! Just kicks it on down. Like, thanks.
Hey! What was that for?
I don't know. Turns out it walks out.
Well, because I was thinking, like, what the, you know, I don't want it to be like a regular, for a, you know, like
exactly.
A reason, like a natural reason, like a cat or something. I want, what's a good story that why the Christmas tree got knocked down? And I'm like, oh my gosh, PETA goes door to door as, you know, sales goes door to door, you know, giving suggestions on how to keep pets safe. And I feel like that's something PETA would actually do. And then the fact that they would see actual live baby goldfish in clear balls of water hanging off the Christmas tree as, like, ornaments, I think they'd be pretty upset about that. And then, you know,
yeah.
knowing how extreme PETA can get, I think they would actually do that. I think they would actually break into the house and knock down the Christmas tree.
Well, you know, I mean, so it's not, maybe not necessarily PETA, but there is, I remember when I mentioned earlier when I was working at the aquarium, there were times where we actually had very credible threats from eco-terrorist groups that were planning on trying to break in and to steal animals and things. So this was a real concern that I was part of my world for a while. And it's not that it's PETA. There's a different group, but they can get pretty serious about it. That's for sure.
Right. And then, you know, as I was writing, I was like, man, you know, that would be a very fascinating tree to look at. Like, if you put LED strips around the Christmas ball, the bulbs of water and everything, and that would be a really fascinating tree to look at. And then I also thought, that could visually that could be a great skit. That could be a great skit for PETA going door to door and going in and knocking the Christmas tree down and saving the fish.
The thing I love that you took it there. I mean, I really commend it. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm like, this is like the most surreal Monty Python sketch I can imagine. I think it's great. Zach, thank you.
You guys are really making me think creatively, and I think it's safe to say that I've mastered rhyming poems, and now you guys have got me thinking about making poems about conversation poems, like the one I did, Let's Talk, about the different way of dealing with intervention, and now I'm going off on all these ones where people are, these poems, people talking with each other, and I think it's a really cool poem. I think it's a really cool way to put poetry.
Yeah. I think there's always room to grow. There's, just when you think you got it nailed, you find something new. But I think it is a lifelong journey, and I'm really happy that you're on it, and I'm really happy that you're here with it and sharing it with us.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, guys, and I will see you
next week. I think we lost him.
Yeah, next week.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. All right, Zach. All right.
Zach, thank you so much, sir. Merry Christmas to you. I'm sure I'll talk to you through Messenger before then, but a Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we look forward to the next show we have, which is before the new year.
Absolutely. Hope you guys have a good night, and, all you guys in this chat room, have a good night. Happy holidays with your family, and I like my poetry, and I like yours, too.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Well, that was a call from Zach in upstate New York. But we're still gonna go a little bit farther north. And a little bit west.
A whole lot west, but okay.
The amount of west you're talking about, JT.
Yeah.
Is entirely relative to the size of the person. Keep that in mind.
Okay. Oh.
JT really doesn't like the way that I like to. it's all right. You know, we used to have these segments.
Yes.
You remember this early on, where you would come up, you would just have lists of corrections of the things we said wrong the week before.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you remember this was a thing. And there were just eventually so many it became impossible.
Yes.
It was like when they throw the snakes in those houses that are infested by mice and the snakes just give up and leave. They're like, "Yeah, no. Yeah, not dealing with this."
Yeah.
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 It kind of just becomes this
kind of.
You know, I think you might be able to get a job in Washington. The press secretary job opens up fairly frequently, I hear.
You know, it does. I don't think I could lie that much.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. You're not asked to lie. That's the truth. In fact, that's the opposite. All right. All right, let's go to somewhere a lot west than Vancouver, British Columbia. Let's visit Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey, I love the music. Fairy Tale of New York is my favorite song.
You know, it's a beautiful song, isn't it? And it's I kind of hadn't sung it in a long time, and at the very last second, I mean, literally 20, 30 seconds before we started.
And you tweaked the lyrics. Did he tweak? They tweaked the lyrics a little bit, so it's only the beautiful part. So.
Right. I didn't do the other stuff. You're right.
Like the, you cut out the offensive part and only did the heartfelt beautiful, so that made it nice.
Well, it made it nice, but it's if you listen to the actual thing, it's very different.
I like your version better. So that was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Well, I like the original too, but your version was really, really wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you. So what do you have for us this time?
So it's so interesting. The poet of the month is someone I'm using in my review today.
Oh, great.
So I was actually looking at this poem and using it in a review I'm doing of Jude's book. So I'm going to read a cover by the poet of the month. It's long, but I'm going to I'm doing an abbreviated version, which will still be long, but I think 5 minutes. Sorry. Will stop me at 5 minutes. So this is the ninth elegy by Rilke. Why, if this interval of being can be spent serenely in the form of a laurel, slightly darker than all other green, with tiny waves on the edges of every leaf, why then have to be human and escaping from fate, keep longing for fate? Not because happiness exists, that too hasty profit snatched from approaching loss, not out of curiosity, not as practice for the heart, which would exist in the laurel too, but because truly being here is so much, because everything here apparently needs us. This fleeting world, which in some strange way keeps calling to us, us, the most fleeting of all. Once for each thing, just once, no more, and we too, just once. And never again. But to have been this once completely, even if only once, to have been at one with the earth, seems beyond undoing. And so we keep pressing on, trying to achieve it, trying to hold it firmly in our simple hands, in our overcrowded gaze, in our speechless heart, trying to become it. Whom can we give it to? We would hold on to it all forever. But what can we take along into that other realm? Not the art of looking, which is learned so slowly, and nothing that happened here. The sufferings then, and above all, the heaviness, and the long experience of love, just what is wholly unsayable. But later, among the stars, what good is it? They are better as they are, unsayable. For when the traveler returns from the mountain slopes into the valley, he brings not a handful of earth, unsayable to others, but instead some word he has gained, some pure word, the yellow and blue. Perhaps we are here in order to say, but to say, we must understand. We must understand more intensely than things themselves ever dreamed of existing. Isn't the secret intent of this earth, when it forces lovers together, that inside their boundless emotion, all things may shudder with joy? What it means for two lovers to be wearing down imperceptibly the ancient threshold of their door, they too, after the many who came before them, and before those to come, lightly. Here is the time for the sayable. Here is the homeland. Speak and bear witness. More than ever, the things we might experience are vanishing. For what crowds them out and replaces them is an imageless act. An act under a shell, which easily cracks open as soon as the business inside outgrows it and seeks new limits. Earth, isn't this what you want? To arise within us, invisible? Isn't it your dream to be wholly invisible someday? What if not transformation is your urgent command? Earth, my dearest, I will. Unspeakably, I have belonged to you from the first. You were always right, and your holiest inspiration is our intimate companion, death. I am living. On what? Neither childhood nor future grows any smaller. Superabundant being wells up in my heart. End poem by the Poet of the Month, Rilke, translated by Stephen Mitchell.
Very, very nice. I'm glad you had that to share, because I think his work has been really, really a big thing for me, you know, with Letters to a Young Poet and all of that. And I'm glad you had that to share. That's wonderful.
It's been huge in my life. And Jude Neal and I talk a lot when we go for coffee about existentialism. And if there's nothing, it's all about our love anyway. Like her book is all about, she's just all about love. And every poetry book she has is love anyway. Even if there's nothing after, even if, you know, your body goes back to the earth and this is all there is, she talks about love in a way that makes it feel eternal. I love those lines. To have been this once seems beyond undoing. From the Quote of the Month, like that idea that to have lived completely, even if there's nothing else, even if this is it, to have lived peacefully in all the way is beyond undoing.
That's, yes. See, that's a wonderful piece. That's a wonderful quote.
So thank you for the Quote of the Month.
Well, of course. He was someone I was wanting to kind of get out there for a while, and this was a good opportunity.
And let you get on with it. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Cynthia. Thank you. And best of luck getting everything out this evening.
Thanks. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Bye. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. All right, JT.
Yes, sir.
We flip it to see if I do a theme for Stan. What do you think?
Go for it.
All right. Well, first of all, let's see if he's actually on. Let's try to go Stan in Alabama here. All right, now go ahead and resume. Let's see if you
that
if
was
we need
weird. It. Sorry.
All right, Stan, we're having that Skype issue again. So if you can, give us a call right back. We'll take you live. In the meantime, I'm going to play a theme song for you. Ready? Here we go. This is a rhyming one.
Okay,
here we go. Banana, Atlanta, pajama, Amanda, Havana, Savannah, Cabana, Alaska, Nevada, Samantha, Bonanza, Nebraska. Time to take a call from Stan from Alabama. Hey, Stan.
How you doing, Michael?
Doing well. I was just trying to kill some time here for you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I hope you didn't have a really serious, morose piece to read right now. I think I might have just killed your platform here. Sorry.
No, not a chance, partner.
All right.
Well, I'm coming back with one that I love to read this time of year.
Beautiful.
It's called Bah Humbug. Hope not. Well, here it is. It's that season again, that time once in the year. The family, the games, commercials and sales, oh, and a little good cheer. We decorate trees, watch specials on TV. We play Christmas songs so merry. Then run around crazed, buying every damn thing our credit line will allow us to carry. Add one more app. Some more blinking lights as the choirs of ATMs sing. But how cheer up and goes when you're punched in the nose fighting for one of the last latest things. There's toys for tots, coins going in pots, and the season we help those with less. But in the coming new year, we hear no, no help here. You takers have feathered your nest. Now Santa sells this and Santa sells that. The merchandise flies off the shelf. But I don't recall his selling his toys at all. He was the giving jolly old elf. And what of the one this day was named for, before this commercialized mess? He taught give to the poor and help those in need. That's how we truly are blessed. Yes, Christmas is a time of joy, with gifts and houses decorated. But let's not too soon forget to whom this day was dedicated. And peace and amen.
First of all, great title. And
yeah.
always love your reading and your presentation.
Oh man, thank you. I love it. This is that time of year for that one.
It really is. It's hard to pull that one off in July.
Yeah. that one doesn't swing well.
I feel like you could do it though.
You might have to wait up until say the end of August, early September when Christmas sales actually begin.
That's true. It's the really scary thing around here anyway, Stan, is on Halloween night, there's haunted houses and everybody's dressed up and it's kind of spooky, and at 12:01 on November 1st, you hear the first dun 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 dun, dun, and suddenly the Christmas sales start. And it's horrifying.
The turkey hasn't even landed yet. What are you doing, people?
Yeah, but turkeys don't know the difference. Time ain't nothing to a turkey. Hey, Stan, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. And we'll hope to talk to you next week.
Oh, absolutely. And Merry Christmas to you all, and on to the next.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good night. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, rounding out our return engagement segment. Now, I think we got time for one more thing. One more song to kind of lead us out here.
Sure.
So I'll just say goodbye here first. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're happy to be back. I know I'm speaking for myself and JT, but I think JT kind of concurs with that as well. We will see you next week. And make sure you bring some ideas about what you want to achieve. We'll kind of start talking about what are we going to achieve in the next year? What are we going to dream for and kind of go for as a group? I'll bring my notebook here and we'll be able to talk about it. But from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from JT and myself, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays to you. We will see you next week. And we're going to end with this song.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Screwed that up. Let's start that again. I couldn't hold it. I was trying. It's like a nightmare. right, verse 2, everyone. So to make this better, let's try to sing along together.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quail at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly host sing alleluia. Christ our Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Last one.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn at thy birth.